y lo sostienes en tu brazo, y lo creas, y lo meces, y lo das en kindness. Oh, Father, has been our portion. So, Father, we say thank you for this morning. Church bells just ringing in our house, Lord. We couldn't wait at home but to run to your house, Lord. Because, Father, we know, oh, in your house, Lord Jesus, you will receive, O God, the things that, Lord, you have ordained even before the foundation of the world. So, Lord, even as we come, we've got our sacrifice, and that is a broken spirit and contract, which we know, Lord, you know his fathers. So, Lord Jesus, for our Sunday school, as we tend to the reading of the Word of God, Father, you are the teacher. Come, teach us, make the Word alive unto us. We ask for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for thanksgiving. Amen. Shall we be seated? It has been a cold week. So, you know, nothing can stop us from coming to the house of God. So, for our Sunday school, we still on the Church of Pergamos. Church of Pergamos. And we shall read from Revelation 2:4. Revelation 2:4. Last week we read the same scripture. So there are many things for us to learn from that very sentence. So many things. So let's read. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, this thing saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. Praise God. This thing saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. We all know already that in all the seven church ages, when John was waiting and listening from the Lord Jesus Christ, every salutation has started with this. And to the angel of this church, write these things to them. Mm-hmm. Amen. And now, he said, he introducing himself in all the salutation, Jesus introduces himself to that particular church. And to Pergamos, he introduced himself as he that hath the sharp sword with two edges. Praise the Lord. And what is this sharp two sword with two edges? Sharp sword with two edges. What is it? If, as the prophet said, if there is any Bible question, the Bible has to answer. So at least we need to get one or two scriptures that speaks the same thing. Then we can know that by the mark of two or three witnesses, the Word of God is established. So we can look at Hebrews 4:12 also, so that we get to know what is this sharp sword with two edges. Let's look at Hebrews 4:12. He said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And it is a what? A discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen. So we see here the sharp sword with two edges. Another scripture is based on this same thing here, that the word of God, so it now giving us a true answer to it. That the word of God is, that is, the word of God is alive. Yeah. Or there is life in the word of God. Quick as alive. The word of God is quick and and sharper than any two-edged sword. So if there are any other two-edged sword, the word is sharper than that. Praise the Lord. If there is any, the word of God is sharper. Praise God. Than any of them. And he said it pierces and divides to asunder the soul and the spirit, joint and the marrows. And it's a discerner. That's the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen. Let's see how the prophet also spoke about it to his soul. He said, oh, how great this sword is. Not a one-sided sharpened edge, but with both edges sharpened. Amen. Amen. Normally we have our cutlass is only one side. So the prophet said that, oh, how great this sword is. Not one-sided sharpened edge, but with both edges sharpened. And he said, the word is like a two-edged sword. He said, it goes out, the word goes out, it finds its way, he's explaining Hebrews 4:12, that it's piercing and dividing the standard of the soul and spirit. The word is what? Expounding out now.
Amen.
So he said, the word of God, it goes out. Amen. And then it finds its way and cuts away all the stony paths.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Sometimes, as the Bible says in Ezekiel, that I will take your stone heart and give you a heart of flesh and put my spirit in you.
Amen.
So he said, it cuts away the stony parts. So if your heart is even hardened,
praise the Lord,
the word of God can what? Take that hardened heart away, because that's the word it gets. Someone, because all of us, probably, we all had some kind of a stony heart. Amen. Before now, we have been given the heart of flesh and the spirit of God. Because we were what? We were not ready to receive this truth. Even where we were before, it was very difficult for us sometimes to believe. How can we tell you that there is only one God? You see?
Amen.
But when you continually hear the word of God, because that's what the word does, see, it's a faith. Coming by what? Coming by hearing the word of God. So as you continue to hear, now faith takes over. And so when now it comes that, oh yes, I now believe that there is one God. I now believe that baptism has been made in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see? So the prophet said, it casts away all the stony parts. And then he said, it takes all the evil out. Takes all the evil out.
The sword with two edge, with the two edged sword. Sharp sword with two edges. That's what it is. That's the word of God. So it takes all the evil out, and then it does what? It places the gentle Holy Spirit inside the heart.
And an evil that's in your heart, it takes everything away. I mean, it doesn't leave you there. It raises the voice to take over. And then the other thing is that then making a door, opening up so that the sin or the penitent, as someone who has been penitent, that sinner or the penitent can unload all the things of the world. So there is a door that will be open also, where you can unload all those foolish things and the world and everything, we push everything away. Praise God.
The world, that's what we get.
And then, there's another scripture to support the sharp sword with two edges as the word of God. That's Ephesians 6, 7. You know already when we mention Ephesians 6. You know it's talk about the armor of God. And the full armor of God. So Ephesians 6, 17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, here it is very, very plain. See, very plain. The sharp sword with two edges is what? Is the word of God, as we see it here in Ephesians. As giving us the weapons of the full armor of God. Amen. We have the breastplate of salvation, and we have the breastplate of righteousness, and then the helmet of salvation, and we have what? The shield of faith. Amen. So, that's it. We now know what the sharp sword with two ends, what it means. It is not the word of God. Amen. So, Jesus was introducing himself to the church of Pergamos that he is the one that has what? The word. Amen. Now when we look at it, and to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he that hath the word. Amen. Now we can put it there. Praise the Lord. But now we find out that the sharp sword with two edges is what? In the word of God. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So, we also got to know that when we were dealing with the Ephesian church age, Jesus introduced himself to the Ephesian church age as the unchanging God. See? All these attributes all lead to what? The God of God. The church of Ephesus, he introduced himself as the unchanging God. And then, the church of Smyrna, he introduced himself as the one true God. The one true God. And now, in Pergamos, he has introduced himself as what? The Word. Amen. See, all these attributes. Believe the Word. One person. Amen. So, the prophet says something in this message book, the invasion of the United States. That I think today, if we haven't got the word of God sharper than two-edged sword around the beauty of the power of the holiness of God, we are going to let every cow in the country to lick on it. Amen. You understand what he's saying? So today, if we don't have the word of God being preached as sharper than two-edged sword, amen, then we are going to what? We are going to get the cows to licking on it. That's everything. Everybody can just walk over it or just say anything roughly up about what? The word of God. You can just say, oh, come on. You're saying it cannot change the person. Amen. The word of God must be being preached, must be sharp. That can cut a sandal, that can take stony hearts out from the person. That can take the evil out of the person. And then place the Holy Spirit in that person. That's the word in this person. And the prophet says that if we don't do it that way, then we have what? We've done nothing to that person. We are not helping what? Even the church. as ministers and as preachers. Praise the Lord. And even you yourself also, with the word of God is in your mouth. So you can also speak to your brother, you can speak to your sister. And if she's on the wrong, you have to what? Tell him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the way how it has to go. Cut this funny heart away. And take all the evil away from your brother. As you see. And try to help him to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He said, but brother, an old, we need, what we need now is an old crying out and dying out until men and women thoroughly repent from their sin and come close to God. Amen. So now, let's come back to Pergamos church again. Pergamos, Jesus was telling them, I am the one that have the sharp sword with the edge. Now, in the message book, Pergamos Church, the prophet said, Jesus knew that there was going to be a terrible drift away from the world in the Pergamian age. Jesus saw it. That there was going to be a terrible drift away from the world. When you look at all the seven church ages, the whole problem has been what? The people leaving the world. Because Ephesians, you know of what? God telling them, go, you have what? Forgotten your first love. See, they left something. So go back where you have fallen. Amen. And make it right. So here, Pergamos, the prophet was saying, Jesus saw that there was going to be a terrible drift away from the world. But that's the work of Satan.
Amen.
Amen. That's the work of Satan. Always to bring in just something small to mix with what? The truth. And then the whole thing works. Brings and holds him to sin.
Amen.
As it happened in the Garden of Eden. See? Just one word. He added to the word of God, and that was what? God sin came into the world. So Satan is still on that. That's why we thank the Lord. We have a message that the enemy is impossible for the enemy to come in. That's why the scripture assures them. It's impossible for the elect to be deceived. So as long as we are the elect, if anything is coming in, quickly, we see it. Holy Spirit will expose it. Amen. Because when I stand here and say something that is contrary to the message, I know definitely when I come out, a brother or a sister can go, draw my attention. And the prophet didn't say that word. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes. Because that is the beginning. In the Ephesians church age, at the beginning of a Nicolaitan spirit, the seed, that it started with what? Just one word. Something old. It was so. All right, let's just let the church go ahead with that. No, sir. If it is not according to the word, let's put it somewhere. You shouldn't allow it. He said, Jesus knew there was going to be a terrible drift away from the world in the beginning age. He said, he knew that drift would cause them to go into the dark ages. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. So he knew that church was going into the dark ages. He knew that the way men originally got away from God was by first leaving the world. See? So that's the thing. And it's continuing up to today. That's the only one way to bring in Satan into the church. is not to drift away from the truth and the word. Amen. So, he said, the prophet said, if you leave that word, you have left God. If you leave the word, you have left God. And so he's presenting himself to the church of Pergamos that indeed I am the word. Amen. And this also applies to all churches. He said it applies to all churches. Not only to the church. That we should be on the watch. Amen. If we leave the word of God, if we leave the word, we have left God. So, he said, I am the word. If you want deity in your midst, welcome and receive the word. Amen.
Amen.
If we want deity in our midst,
amen.
Then welcome and receive the word. Amen. Don't ever let anyone or anything get between you and that word. Amen. Listen closely again. He said, don't ever let anyone or anything get between you and that word. Because if you leave the word, you have left God. Don't allow anything to get between you and the word. Amen. That means the word of God must come first.
Right.
In all our undertakings, God first in everything. God doesn't need the second first. Then be the first in all our undertakings. Everything doesn't need the first. So the prophet must have said that now this a rebuke to us. The prophet is asking a question. I wonder if we are sufficiently impressed with the word in our midst. Are we sufficiently impressed about the word in our midst? Amen. Amen. We must always be thankful to the Lord for this message.
Amen.
For this message that has opened our hearts. So that we cannot be deceived.
That's right.
We have become the elect of God. And the elect of God can never be deceived. Amen. So, God is asking, are we sufficiently impressed? Are we impressed with the word in our midst? Amen. Let us show that really. We are grateful that the word of God is in our midst.
Amen.
You know, God became expressed in the person of Jesus Christ. So Jesus was the expressed image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that also, we have scriptures that actually go to prove that Jesus is the express image of God. And Jesus is what? Is the Word. Amen. Jesus is the Word. And so, we can say we have God in our midst because we have the Word in our midst. We are handling the Word of God. Amen. So we have God in our midst. Because we have the word. Amen.
Amen.
So, in the message, in Hebrews 1:3, this is another scripture to prove that Jesus is the express image of God in our midst. That who being the brightness of his glory and the express image. image of his person. So Jesus Christ is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person.
Amen.
Quickly, let's look at another scripture, John 1:14. We said, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The very substance of God was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. The great spirit filled God, of which no man could approach, which no man had seen or could behold, was now tabernacled in flesh and dwelt among men, expressing the fullness of God in them. Amen. Now, remember where we have come. That we are talking about God in army. And God in army is a Lord. If Jesus Christ, we have no man has seen God before. That we have seen the express image of how God is. Looking at Jesus Christ. And we may ask, where is Jesus now? He's in his word. Everything about him is in his word. Amen. So next week when we can, God willing, we are going to look at how God expresses himself for us. So that you and I, we can also be an express image of God. Because right from the beginning, he created you and me in his image. That's what the Bible says. I'm going to bless you. Our dear Lord Jesus, once again we want to say thank you, God. Father, this is the beginning of another week. And we are starting the week, Lord, right in your presence.
Amen.
Father, even as we know that when praises and worship goes up, you come down.
Amen.
Lord, we commit, Lord Jesus, our song leader, the musicians, the instruments that we use about to worship, our lips, our hands, our voices, Father, we pray that, Lord Jesus, it will be satisfied by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that, oh God, we will surrender all to thy praise. Mm. And as the praises reaches you, you know you will come down in the midst of your people.
Amen.
Bless the son and the musicians. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you.